I'm Tim Burke. Glad to have you listening on this Monday afternoon. Welcome to Live from Studio A. My guest is a harpist, Danielle Paus, who is in town. She's going to be doing some local gigs, and we're glad to have you in the studio. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me, Tim.
And she is primarily a Celtic harpist, although she is an Interlochen alum as well and studied here. Classical harp, and I know there've got to be a lot of parallels between Celtic and a classical harp, but there's some differences too. Perhaps we could start with just the physical appearance of the instrument, so folks have a sense of what the differences might be.
Sure. Well, the main difference is really size. The Celtic harp is much smaller than the pedal harp, and the other big difference is there's no pedals on this harp. It has levers that can move the notes by half step, either up to a sharp or down to a flat. So
so you're not really limited by key?
No. It just depends on what key I tune the harp in. This one, I have it in E flat right now. Yeah, but a lot of harpists will put it in A flat. Those are kind of the two keys because it doesn't really go past that for the Celtic harp repertoire. So.
Now, I'm curious that it looks very similar. When you go to play it, is the technique pretty much the same?
Not really. It really helped to have the classical technique. I mean, I think it helps on any instrument, but the tension is a lot lighter than a pedal harp, and the strings are a little bit thinner. So it's hard for me when I kind of almost do feel like it's a bit of a different instrument because I really do. I have to change my playing and not play as hard as I do on the pedal harp.
So a very light touch required. Mm-hmm. Now, you're still performing some with the pedal harp, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So because
yeah.
you do weddings and such, as I understand it. And
I do weddings. I got to do the Britain Ceremony of Carols.
Mm.
And I've actually had the privilege of getting to do that for about the past 3 years. So it's just such a fabulous piece. And I've gotten to work with some really wonderful choirs. So I've done that, and I play with a few of the local orchestras around where I am in Maine. Colby College Orchestra, I actually teach up there, and then Bates College as well. So,
now, how did you come to learn to play the Celtic harp? What, or did that come before the classical?
Well, my mom's a harpist. And yeah, so she's classically trained as well, but she had kind of started acquiring lots of Celtic harps. So they were always kind of in my sphere of reality. And then I did some Scottish playing in high school and through college. I think when I was at Interlochen, it was more of a classical track. And also the beginning of college, I was studying with Ann Hobson Pilot of the BSO, and she taught at NEC. So I was at UMass Amherst, and I would commute to Boston for my lessons with her. So I really did focus on classical music at that point. But also did some playing with a jazz band, and that was just really, really fun. But I've always been interested in it. I think probably the big shift for me was after I had kids, because I think, as any classical musician knows, it really requires a lot of time to keep your chops up. And I just felt like the Celtic harp was a little more accessible for me based on the amount of time that I had, and also more kind of instant gratification of being able to wrap my fingers around these tunes. So,
now, do you find, how do I put this delicately? Are there those either in the Celtic world or the classical harp world who will raise an eyebrow when they find out that you've got a foot in both worlds?
Yeah. I think that's becoming less and less. We were kind of having this conversation before we went on air, but just a lot of the crossover that's happening between different musical genres, especially the Americana and even Celtic music. I mean, I think people are realizing that they're really great. These traditional music traditions have some really fabulous repertoire. And they might seem simple, but when you really kind of sink your teeth into the repertoire and you start listening to some of the really good players in those genres, their knowledge of the music and the tunes is so amazing that they just the littlest ornaments, or they never play it through the same twice. And it's just, it's this really high level of musicianship that these trad players have. So, but yeah, there sometimes, especially in the harp world, it's kind of, you know, there is a little bit of, yeah, there's a line for sure.
Well, let's see if we can cross it right now. I know you've got some music prepared. What would you like to play?
Well, I can do that Swedish tune that we were talking about.
Okay.
Because that is kind of a, this traditional Swedish music is very much based on kind of the Baroque La Folia style of music. And I was talking to Gary before this, but I feel like the chord progression is in this is the same as the Handel Passacaglia. And I think that's why I liked it. So, yeah.
And the title of this work?
Oh, my goodness.
You can say it in English. It's
well,
okay.
it's a polska. Okay. And it's kind of funny because there's this, I go every year to Vermont to this Norwegian ski dance weekend. And they get a Hardanger fiddle player in from Norway and dance teachers. And the Swedes are kind of banished off to the back room. So I always end up with the Swedes because the Swedish music is a little more Western based. The Hardanger fiddle music is just all over the place. But yeah, I always end up with them in the back room playing tunes. So, but I don't know the name of this one.
A polska, that's all we know for sure. Right. This is harpist Danielle Paus. Beautiful polska, Swedish polska, performed by harpist Danielle Paus, who, by the way, is going to be performing locally tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. at Horizon Books in downtown Traverse City. So get out there and get a listen to some live Celtic harp.
It's a free concert as well.
Oh, yes, the price is certainly right. Absolutely. And you've got a CD out as well. It's titled Siren Song. And it's only been out a few months now, February, I believe.
Yeah, I finished it up in February. Mm-hmm.
And how did you find the process of recording for a harp? Are there challenges that are specific to you as opposed to a piano player or a string quartet?
I think probably the hardest thing is not just in the engineering, it's not to get that clicky sound, just because the nature of the strings, you know, vibrating string and fingers and nails, that's just something that we harpists have to deal with. But I think, you know, we can do things in live playing that kind of lessen it. But when you're in the studio and there's a mic 3 inches away from where you're playing, you really, it does take a bit of finagling. So.
Now, I also noticed that for some reason to me, and maybe I'm fooling myself, but it seems that this harp has a lot of overring. It rings for a long time. Is that something that's specific to them? Do they
The Celtic harps?
Yeah, do they decay a little more slowly than some other types of harps?
I think they're all a little different. I mean, I have had so many little Celtic harps, and I'll get them, and I'll have them for a little while, and then I won't like it, so I'll get another one. But I really, really like this harp. It's a starfish harp from Scotland. And just the craftsmanship on it is really beautiful. And I think this one it is pretty ringy to me. So, but they're all harp. It depends on the wood. It's like any instrument, you know, they all kind of have their own unique little.
So it's not the type of harp, it's each individual instrument then.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And these are handmade. So it's a little different than say, a factory harp, like Lyon and Healy, the big pedal harp producers, they also make some small lever harps, which are great for kids to get going on because they have the same pedal harp tension. But they definitely do not have the kind of personality that a handmade, I mean, because it's a factory made instrument. So I think there is a big difference from the hand craftsmanship and factory.
I'm curious, now it's been a few years since you graduated and you did some postgraduate time here as well. What has it been like to leave Interlaken and go out into the world and try to make your way as a harpist? That doesn't sound like, I mean, it's not the sort of thing, you know, it sounds like the punchline to a joke, you know, a definition of an optimist is a harpist with a beeper or something. And it's got to be tough. You're going to have to, how many orchestras have openings? There aren't that many harpists in an orchestra.
Right.
So you've got to do something with a lot of other time just to make ends meet. What do you do?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really interesting question for any musician, especially in the classical world, because to get those top level playing gigs, you know, in the great orchestras, I mean, you have to be so, so, so good. And there's a limited amount of spots, you know, so I really kind of did have this, I feel like it's not that I stopped playing music, but I really, it was almost like I re-met the harp again and re-met music, and I kind of had to redefine it for myself of, I knew what it would take to do it, and it was a question of, am I up for this?
One of those "what have I done" moments.
Yeah, well, kind of just a, you know, do you really want this? Because you have to really want it. And I feel very fortunate that I've been able to kind of find a niche for myself, being able to do a bit of classical playing when I have the time that I know that I can put into it and be happy with the product that I get. But you know, being the mother of two children, my time is very, very precious. So I think just being able to piece together classical gigs and satisfy myself with the classical music repertoire, doing whatever. I mean, weddings are great, but also, you know, playing with local orchestras who we have a great conductor in our Midcoast Symphony in Brunswick, and he's just great to work with. And so I think it's more of a choice of, do I like the repertoire? Am I going to want to put the time into it? And do I like the conductor and the classical stuff? And then the Celtic stuff has just been great, because I feel like so many people will come up to me and say, oh my gosh, I've never seen a harp. I've never heard a harp. And I think that the Celtic harp kind of is a little more accessible to people. And I think it's great when, you know, you can show a kid a little harp and they can see it. Or an adult who's never seen a harp. I mean, it's a really magical instrument. And it's just really neat.
For the sake of folks just tuning in, that's Danielle Paus, who is a harpist, a graduate of the Interlaken Arts Academy, and now making her way in the world playing Celtic and classical harp. And I'm going to ask you to play a little bit more for our listeners, because we haven't had much yet. So what would you like to do?
I think I might do something kind of slow. This is a piece, one of my favorite Celtic harpists. Her name is Katrina Mackay, and she's from Shetland. Just an amazing player, and she wrote this piece called The Swan. And then the second piece that I follow it is written by Irish harper Michael Rooney. So it's kind of two contemporary Celtic harp pieces by two players that I really respect. So Katrina Mackay and Michael Rooney.
That's harpist Danielle Paus, who will be performing tomorrow evening at Horizon Books in Traverse City. That begins at 7 p.m. It's absolutely free. Danielle is an Interlochen alum and has her feet in both the classical and the Celtic harp world. And we certainly do appreciate your coming in to demonstrate
this
beautiful playing. You're tuned to Interlochen Public Radio. Music now of Howard Hansen. This is a piece titled For the First Time. And Howard Hansen himself leads the Eastman Rochester Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Thanks. Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, you're a great interviewer.
Oh, thank you.
It's hard to know sometimes. You know, I've been in interviews before, and some of the questions are totally wacky. So that was great.
I've learned, you know, I bring in information about the performance, a little bit about the performer, and then I just have a conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get to show my ignorance. And, you know, because I don't know. But I figure if I don't know, there's a good chance most of the listeners don't either.
Right.
So.
That was a really interesting interview.
Oh, thank you.
And Beautimus Maximus.
Oh, thank
no
you so
kidding.
Much.
Great.
Thanks.
That was really neat. I kept leaning out so I could watch your hands.
Oh.
Which is really cool.
Thank
this
you.
Is Kate Botello, by the way. He's
Hi.
Our morning host.
So nice to meet
nice
you.
Nice to meet you, Danielle. Thanks so much for doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah, thanks for
and
having
Gary,
me.
Gary, have you met Kate before?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Many
okay.
Times.
Hi, Dylan.
Good. How you doing?
Over at least three lunches? That far
least,
back?
Yeah, many, many lunches. Shall we photo op?
Sure.
Yes, let's take the water picture, if you don't mind. Sure. Unless it's a prop of which you are fond.
I do like that water picture, actually. Yeah.
That's my thing. That's like my water picture thing. Bring
these back.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's going to be better. So, if you want to sit and...
Do you want me to play?
Sure.
Okay.
Tim, come over here. Tell me this one.